Welcome to Shiloh Baptist Church. We are a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are lost. We exist to
employ.
Exalt.
Engage.
Experience. Equip.
Empower.
Good morning. My name is the Reverend Dr. Danielle Brown, and I'm the senior pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in Plainfield, New Jersey. And I want to welcome you to the Shiloh experience. We are absolutely elated that you have chosen to worship with us today. Whether you're worshiping here in the sanctuary or as part of our virtual congregation, even you may be watching this on replay. We're just glad that you are here. Listen, if you're with us in the sanctuary, take a moment to check in on social media. Let all of your friends know that you are here at the place of peace. If you're worshiping with us virtually, take a moment to share this broadcast. Let all of your network know that something is happening at Shiloh that is gonna change their lives forever. Take a moment to like this broadcast. Matter of fact, don't just like it, love this broadcast, and then tag your friends in the comments. We want the whole world to know that Shiloh Baptist Church is a place where Jesus is Lord and where people are loved. We're so glad that you're here. Let's prepare ourselves for an incredible worship experience today.
Shiloh, come on, put your hands together, stand on your feet for the call to worship. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. For him who has been redeemed from the enemy, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, just put your hands together this morning.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I will bless the Lord.
Oh,
we thank you. We give you glory. Hallelujah. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody like you. Hallelujah. In our searching life, often times, you're going to encounter a whole lot of stuff when you're searching. You're going to encounter heartache, heartbreak, a little bit of everything. But I guarantee you that once you find Jesus Christ, that your life will never ever be the same. So I've searched all over, can't find anybody like you, Jesus. None can compare to you. Just lift your hands all over the building as we worship Him. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great. Nobody great. Nobody greater than you. Come on, help me say, search the Lord. Search to high and low.
Still couldn't find nobody, nobody great. Nobody great, nobody greater than you. Come on, let that be your testimony. Let's sing it together. High and low,
high and low.
Still couldn't find nobody.
But we couldn't find nobody. Hallelujah. We looked high and low and still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater than our Lord. Nobody greater than our Father. Nobody greater. Hallelujah. We're searching all over. We can't find nothing. Nobody. Hallelujah. We searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you this day, Father. We honor you today. We lift you up today. Hallelujah. There's nobody greater than our Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Father, have your way in this place, Lord. We're searching high and low and searching everywhere, but we can't find nobody greater than you. Hallelujah. Help us today, Lord. Help us to be better today. Help us to grow. Help us to be filled with your Spirit, Father. Help us this day, Father, to be made whole today. Hallelujah. We're searching all over, but we can't find nobody. We're looking high and low in substance and drugs and abuse and things that we have. Father, help us today. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Somebody came with a broken heart today. Somebody came to be lifted up today. Somebody came because they need to receive your Holy Spirit. Have your way, Father. Have your way in this place. Break strongholds today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come and lay all your burdens down for Jesus to take it up today. Have your way in this place, Father. Let you be glorified in everything that we do, Father. Let us not hold nothing back. Because somebody came to receive you today. Denounce us so that you might get the glory today, Father. Have your way in this place, Lord. Yes. Have your way, Father. Lay your burden down at his feet. He's looking for you. He's searching for you. You can come to the Father today. Hallelujah. Have your way in this place, Lord. Deal with the broken pieces of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 no sweeter name we know, but the name that's above every name, the precious name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, have your way today, Father. We love you and we praise you this day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
what a God we serve. Every once in a while, you need a praise break. Amen. Today's scripture reading will be taken from the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 5 through 12. And it reads, "It is not to the angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it is fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what has suffered, both the one who made people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises." Praise the Lord for the reading and application of his word. Amen.
Hallelujah. As we remain standing all over the sanctuary, let's lift our voices together to sing our morning hymn, Glory to His Name. Come on, all over the building. Down at the cross, down at the cross where I stay. Oh, down where for cleansing from sin. There to my heart.
singing glory to his name. Oh, and to my heart was the blood applied. So, one more time, let's make a joyful noise to the Lord. Glory. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Somebody say amen. And say amen again. It is time for our children and youth moment. Are you excited? Amen and amen. Come on, we can praise God for our children. Put your hands together. All young people from K through 12th grade, I'm going to ask that you would stand, please. All young people, come on, stand. Come on, come on. Akeem, Rhea, come on. Don't let me call you out. Hunter, Lanaya, praise God. Keep clapping and celebrating these young people. For they are in church on a Sunday morning. Amen and amen again. Remain standing because last week, Minister Brian talked to you guys about having power. Amen. Amen. That God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power. And not only did God give us power, but the Word of God also says that He gave us love. He gifted us with the spirit of love. And anytime God gifts you with something, the expectation is that you use what He gifted you with to bring about glory to His name. For example, if God gifted you with the voice of Sister Tina Marshall, then you ought to sing the songs of Zion that will bring about glory to the name of God. Or if God gifted you to play the organ as well as Minister Wendell Craig Woods, then you ought to play the organ that will glorify God in heaven. And so since God has gifted you with the spirit of love, you ought to love in a way and demonstrate the love you have for people in a way that will glorify God in heaven. And that means you love even when you don't feel like loving. That you love when folks make it hard for you to love, and that you even love folks that may not necessarily love you back. Because the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, that He will know that we are His by the love we show one to another. Matthew says it this way in chapter 5, verses 44 begins and says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And so the next time you find yourself in a circumstance or a situation where you don't necessarily feel like loving young people, because I've been there, they make it hard for you to like them, let alone love them. Love them anyway, so that your Father in heaven might be glorified. So can we choose love on this morning? Come on, come on, young people, can we choose love? Y'all can teach us seasoned folks something about love. So I want you to keep that word with you as you go throughout this week. Remember that you have
second Sunday of each month in the Cultural Arts Center starting on November 14th, 10 to 11 a.m. for children ages 6 to 12 years old. Calling all middle school and high schoolers, join the youth ministry for food, fun, and fellowship for our Friday night favor beginning Friday, November 19th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Shiloh's Help for Haiti Medical Supplies Drive has been extended to Sunday, November 14th. We are in short supply of medical items and greatly need your help, Shiloh. Your kindness to others is always a great blessing. For more information, please contact Deaconess Finney at 732-356-2479. Shiloh's Sidemore registration is now open. Classes begin on November 14th. Please log on to our website to complete your registration form. The Prayer is Essential Ministry meets once a month on the fourth Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. All are welcome to join ministry leaders, Deaconess Barbara Bridges and Margaret Liggins, by conference call on 605-472-5383 using password 318-750. On Sunday, November 28th, Shiloh will be holding a baby dedication. If you would like to have your child dedicated before the end of the year, please email Sister Marlene Powell at officeassistant@shilohplainfield.org. The deadline to register for baby dedication is Monday, November 15th. Please join Shiloh and Liberty Baptist Church in fellowship for a Thanksgiving Eve service on Wednesday, November 24th at 7 p.m. at Liberty Baptist Church in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Our very own Reverend Dr. Danielle L. Brown will bring the preach word. We hope to see you there.
Good morning, ladies. My name is Brooke Bowers-Swain, and I am here on behalf of the Women's Fellowship Court Team to invite you to Shiloh Women's Fellowship Ministry. We will meet on Saturday, November 13th at 10 a.m. on Zoom. This month, our theme is sowing seeds of thankfulness, and our scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. So ladies, please be sure to brew your coffee or your tea, and please join us for some fun health tips, thought-provoking breakout discussions, and more. Please check your emails for Zoom links, or be sure to email shilohwomensfellowship@gmail.com. See you Saturday.
Attention Shiloh members, come join us for Meet the Pastor. Come meet the pastor after service on Sunday, November 21st for our Shiloh youth and college students, Sunday, December 5th for our Shiloh men, and Sunday, December 12th for our Shiloh women. Don't forget to bring your questions and come enjoy some coffee and donuts.
Hey, my name is Bianca Allen, and I am joining you, Shiloh Baptist Church, on Friday, November 19th at 7 p.m. So now listen, I'm traveling to get to you all, so I need you to bring your homegirls. I need you to bring your homeboys. If you're in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, we're going to be kicking it with your pastor. And there you can ask your pastor, my best friend, the Reverend Dr. Danielle Brown, anything you want. Now, I can't promise that it'll get answered, but you surely can ask. So we are looking forward to being with you, having a great time. There'll be refreshments served. Come on, let your hair down, put your J's on as you kick it with your pastor. Remember, Friday, November 19th at 7 p.m. I look forward to seeing you. Have a great day.
Shiloh family and friends have various options to contribute tithes and offerings to Shiloh. There are 7 ways to contribute. By texting the word GIVE to 908-293-7376 online, by mail using Zelle, GiveFi, PayPal, or Cash App using the cash tag Shiloh Plainfield. For more information, please visit Shiloh's website.
Good morning, Shiloh family and friends. This is Sister Karen Foster, and I'm here to speak to you in reference to the gift of obedience. So I didn't know exactly what I was going to say, but the Lord wants me to give my personal testimony. And that is, I had already given this year to the gift of obedience. But the Lord let me know quietly that I have the full amount to give this year. But I had a but in there, which said, but Lord, that's the money that I set aside for my emergencies and the house and things like that. But he's the one that has given me that money to get put there. So if he's asking for it this year, I have to open up my hand, give it to the Lord, and he will continually replace it. He's a God that supplies all my needs. I'm a living testimony to that. So my words of encouragement is to those of you who feel that it's too much to give, or you don't know where you can give it, just begin to give. Ask the Lord where he would want you to give and what he wants you to give, and start giving it, because he will put more into your hands. It's like a seed. When you plant a seed in the ground, it's going to grow. It's not going to grow one ear corn. It's going to multiply. So don't be afraid to trust God and to give to the gift of obedience.
That's all for now, Shiloh. Thank you.
Pray praise the Lord, Shiloh. Come on, put your hands together if you are excited to be in the service one more time. Can you just look down your row and wave your hand at somebody? You can't touch them, but just wave and let them know that you're glad to see them. Let them know that they are seen today. And listen, if no one has told you all week long that you are loved, guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Shiloh. And friends, it is so good to see you. If you are visiting with us today, would you please stand to your feet if you are visiting with us? Maybe this is your first time, second time, eighth time of visiting. Please stand to your feet. Come on, Shiloh, put your hands together for our visitors. Please remain standing because our ushers are bringing you a card. And on that card, there are some lines there. We ask that you would just fill that card out. Share with us your information. We want to stay in touch with you and keep you abreast of all of the amazing things happening in the life of Shiloh. You can already tell that there is a whole lot, right? We have an amazing youth ministry. You heard the announcement about our women's ministry fellowship. In a few weeks, the men will be getting together for a gathering. We've got something for people in their 20s and 30s as well. Did y'all see my best friend? I'm going to answer your question. So come 20s and 30s. Come on out. We're going to have a great time. Isn't Shiloh Baptist Church an amazing church? If you believe it, can you just make some noise? Can you just celebrate this amazing church? This amazing church. Listen, we have a thank you note from Sister Yvonne Watts. Did she make it today? Because she sent me a little message saying she really, really wanted to be here. She can't wait to be back in church, but she did send us a note of thanks for everyone who has sent cards and shared well wishes and phone calls. Listen, that is what church is made of, right? Is that when we have our low moments, our rough patches, the church shows up one for another, right? And I'm glad to be a part of a church like that. And so, Sister Yvonne, if you're streaming with us, we're sending you love right back, and we can't wait. We will wait because we want healing, right, to be full. And so we will wait, but we can't wait to see you in the house. And we are praying for all of those who are experiencing illness, Brother Michael McLeod and Trisha Cox, Elizabeth Glover, Joseph Glover. We are praying for Brother Frank Stepney and for their full recovery and healing. How many of us know that God is a healer? A matter of fact, how many of us know not just because of what we've heard, but how many of you know firsthand that God is indeed a healer? And so we want those that are still journeying through the process of healing to know that you have some witnesses that God can and God will. We are also praying for those that are at home and unable to come out because they're on the sick and shut in, and for those that are grieving. God draws near to the brokenhearted, and know that Shiloh Baptist Church, we are praying for you and we are sending our love your way. Shiloh, guess what? I got word that Trustee Lloyd Bailey and Cynthia Bailey, they are celebrating their 22nd wedding anniversary. Where are the Baileys? Where are the Baileys at? Where? Come. Will you come here? I want to see the. Is your wife here today? Where? Come on, get your bride. Matter of fact, Will all of the married couples go find your spouse? And can we just, if your spouse is here, can all of the married couples just go get your bride, get your groom? And can y'all just come to the altar? Come on, play that little Ribbons in the Sky, right? We're Relevant Church. Go get your... Look, you see Deacon is... You see him, Deacon Thorpe, he's buttoning his jacket as he comes to get the reverend. We got what better music than this? Shiloh, we celebrate the covenant and the institution of marriage. And when I heard that Trustee Bailey was celebrating 22 years and 45 years of friendship, I got excited. Because I said, that means that they were still friends after being married for 22 years, and that makes a difference, right? But I also wanted to take a moment today in service to celebrate marriage. Take a moment even to pray over our married couples. Y'all look so good. Doesn't love, don't y'all just love? So let's just stretch our hands toward all of our men. Look, they're still coming. How many years of the Thorpes? How many years? 52. Anybody more than 52 years? How many years? 54 years. Anybody more than that? 52. Marriage is beautiful. Marriage is honorable in the sight of the Lord. Marriage is intended for forever. So let's stretch our hands toward our married couples. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much. And for those that are married, but your spouse may not be here, you can stand. God, we thank you for these married couples. We thank you for all of these married people. And God, we ask now that you would bless their union. That God, while we celebrate 22 and 5 and 5 months and 54 years, and Lord God, whatever the number of years has been, I pray now that their joy would overflow. That God, you would give them long and healthy lives together, that abundance would be within their households and happiness will be within their households. And Lord God, the lines of communication would remain open and forgiveness would be swift. God, we know that your word says that who you have put together, let no one put asunder. And so God, today we impromptu celebrate your idea, which was marriage. And we celebrate these who are gathered here together today. And God, we celebrate that they've gone along with your idea. Lord God, make them better because they're together. And God, we just thank you even now for marriage and for these marriages. Lord God, overflow them with joy. Let laughter fill their households. Let healing, Lord God, be in their midst. And Lord God, I thank you now that every day they are making new and wonderful memories. Lord, don't let the passion get stale, but keep the fire even burning, Lord God, that these marriages will honor you and be examples to everyone, Lord God, of what life can be in a marriage. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Happy anniversary, Baileys, and happy marriage, everybody. Go on and take your loved one, take your boo back to their seat. Shiloh, it's giving time at Shiloh Baptist Church. Come on, put your hands together and let's celebrate generosity and celebrate giving. We have several ways and methods of giving. Don't we just love love? Isn't love just beautiful? It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And all of these married couples, we probably had about 1,000 years of marriage at this altar. And that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Man, that's beautiful. But it's giving time. Did we skip the hymn? No, I was upstairs. We had a little technical difficulties, but can you put your hands together and celebrate Reverend Jean and Sister Jalen up there and for their quick action, getting us together and making sure that we got back online. It is giving time, Shiloh, and we have expanded our giving methods, and we know that we are a giving church, and we are a tithing and a giving church. Sister Valerie, is it a little better with the adjustment that we made over there? Listen, Shiloh, every week, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been tweaking and working with some things, and we had to move a few things because we recognize that the Leslie speaker was blowing y'all out of the water on this side. And so we've moved it and we've made some adjustments. Is the sound much better for you? Are you experiencing a better sound experience? Amen. We thank God for progress, but it's giving time, and we've expanded our giving methods, and it already played in our promo video. We have 7 ways to give here at Shiloh, and and we are excited to give every opportunity that we get, because God loves a cheerful giver. Please stand to your feet today. If you are giving by way of envelope and you need an envelope, just stretch your hand and our ushers will serve you. And we do ask that if you are visiting with us or you do not yet have a box number, we ask that you would put your contact information on the back side of the envelope, your name, your address, a contact number, so that we can make sure that our records are accurate. And we want to communicate with you as well with regard to your giving. We are grateful, Shiloh, for your giving today. Let us stretch our gifts toward heaven as we stand to our feet all over the sanctuary. As we prepare to give, I will put you in the hands of our wonderful ushers, and they will direct you. But thank you, God, for this opportunity to give. God, we ask that you would make your word come alive in the life of every tither, that if we bring the whole tithe to the Lord's house, that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we will not have room enough to receive. And so, God, we thank you that everything that we have comes from you. And so it's our delight to bring the tithe. And it's also our delight, Lord God, to share in the offering. It's our delight to sow seed, because your word says that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not end. So we thank you today that every seed that we sow will reap a harvest, and that the tithe that we bring will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we won't have room to receive. Bless every giver. Give back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, amen. Amen. You are in the hands of the usher, and the capable hands of Brother Wendell Woods.
Lost.
Hallelujah. He will meet our needs. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given unto thee.
Hallelujah. 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 It is now time to worship God. Time to worship God. Because he's worthy. He is exalted. The King is exalted. And I will praise him. Does anybody have that same testimony? Before we start singing this song, I'm going to introduce the song to you. Sing it if you know it. If you don't, I'm going to introduce it. But this is the time that the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, without the clapping of your hands, we want to exalt him. And the way we do that is from the fruit of our lips. We start talking and speaking well of who he is and sit around and give him glory and give him accolades and give him praise and give him worship. But we do that from the fruit of our lips. It's okay to clap because that's part of what the psalm says, right? But what about of us speaking well of his goodness and of his mercy? How do you know that he inhabits the praises of his people? That means he sits in the midst of his praises and he receives the glory. And while he's receiving glory, anything that you're not asking him for at that time, he already knows the needs, so he meets the needs of those that give him glory and worship. Before we sing this song, is it okay if we could just open our mouths and just speak well of him? Come on, just speak well of him. Open up your mouth and just tell him how wonderful he is. And speak well of your God. Tell him how glorious he is. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how excellent his name is. He is the glory. He is. We exalt you. And come on, someone open up your mouth and just fill this place with just God's glory and worship. I need you to open your mouth a little bit more than that choir. Help me just worship God in here today. Can we open our mouths? We just don't sing, but we worship with our mouths as well. That's the instrument of praise that we give to God. Can we just open our mouths and just begin to worship him? Come on, saints. Come on, I need you just to open your mouths. Tell him how good he is. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how excellent he is. Tell him that we exalt him. Come on, I need you just to fill this place with praise. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. This is the God that woke you up this morning. This is the God that gave you another opportunity to live. This is a new month, a new day of mercies. I need somebody to just fall to, just talk to him. Come on, come on. Just talk to him just a little bit. Just begin to worship him. Come on, I need you just to worship him a little bit more. You can't look at me because I can't do it for you. You can talk to me, but I can't do it for you. I didn't do anything for you. But you know who is. You know who is. It is to come. I need you just to open up your mouth and give him glory. Come on, that's it, 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 that's it. Come on, let him saturate you. Come on, come on, come on. That's it, that's it, that's it.
He is exalted, the King is exalted, and I will praise him, say, the King, and I will praise his name.
Listen to me talking about choir. Who are we talking about? He is Lord.
Forever,
his truth shall reign.
Heaven and earth
exalt his holy name. Somebody said,
he is exalted.
About the King. Who we talk about?
What time?
That's the whole song. Let's start from the top. Everybody just sing. He is exalted. Come on.
And I will
praise him. That's it. Come on, look at him. Who are we talking about? He, the king. We're not talking about you. We know you're glorious, but we're talking about the king now.
And I will
praise him. His name. Everybody, lift your voice. Mike Scapino. He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Forever
his rule shall reign.
Somebody say, heaven and earth. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, come on, come on. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can we say it together? Say hallelujah.
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 Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We give you glory.
We give you glory.
We give you honor. Praise.
say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, hear me now.
If you believe that God is worthy of honor, go ahead and give it to Him. It's not enough to just let the choir sing it over us. But as they sing it over us, when we agree, we do what? We respond. How many of you know that our God is great and greatly to be praised? Our Father and our God, we honor you today. We give you all the glory and all the honor because you indeed are worthy. God, we thank you that you have watched over us and you've kept us through many dangers, toils, and snares, through dangers seen and unseen. Here we are, through all that our lives have presented just this week. Here we are. And so, God, we thank you for this worship experience, for every prayer that has been prayed, for every song that has been sung, for the dancers that have ministered before us, for the person who is seated to our right and our left in front of us and behind us, and for the sanctuary, the worshipers that have gathered in our virtual sanctuary. God, we thank you. And now, God, we come to this preaching moment and I ask that you would sanctify it, that you would make it your own, that you wouldn't allow any of these, your precious people, to suffer because of the humanity of this preacher. But God, will you stand up in me to the end that from this sacred desk to the door and wherever this broadcast may land, your people are edified, they are empowered, they are encouraged and excited to run on and do your work in ways that will turn this world upside down, and not for any glory of our own, but only for the glory of the one who is, the one who was, and the one who always will be. And his name is Jesus. And it's in that name that we pray. And let all God's people say, amen, amen, and amen. If you're worshiping with us online, go ahead and type amen in those comments. You know that this is a black church. And in our tradition, it is preaching is a participatory event, right? I preach and you preach with me. Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, help pastor preach today. And in the comments, y'all type it in there. That's how y'all help out there, is to say, help pastor preach today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Nehemiah, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to read in your hearing verse 14, just one verse. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter and verse 14. I thank God for all of you being with us today in worship. My mom is here today. Hey, mommy, wave at the people. For those who don't know yet, that's my mom. That's my mama. And so, mommy, it's good to see you in worship today. And my dad is streaming today. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. And the word of the Lord reads this way. Remember me, oh my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. For the last few weeks, Nehemiah has been really busy around Shiloh. We've talked about how the Lord put in his heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of the city. Nehemiah has been really busy rallying the people together for a common cause and for getting in the trenches with them to put his shoulder to the wheel and work while offering guidance, Deacon Davis, direction and encouragement to those who had a mind to work. and work they did. I mean, Nehemiah has been pretty busy. He's been pretty busy laying, maintaining his focus and not allowing Sanballat and Tobiah and all of their allies to cause the work to cease. No matter how hard and how much they plotted against him, Nehemiah stayed on the wall. Look, Nehemiah has been pretty busy, Reverend Thorpe, around here. After the wall was completed, he got in with the priest Ezra and made sure that the people returned to the law, understanding that it was their disobedience to the law that found them in the predicament of bondage and ruins in the first place. Deacon Han, Nehemiah is so busy. He's been busy doing what God placed in his heart to do, and as a result of this, his people have made some major gains. As a result of his hard work, Jerusalem is in a better position. And by the time we get to the 13th chapter of Nehemiah, Nehemiah has gone back to the king after his years of serving as governor in Jerusalem. Because, of course, the king didn't intend for Nehemiah to stay over there forever. Nehemiah is busy, and while he is with King Artaxerxes, and after a certain number of days, he gets the okay from this pagan king to go back and visit Jerusalem. But the problem is that Nehemiah was not the only one busy. When he gets back to Jerusalem, he finds that there's been a whole lot going on since he left. What he finds is that all of their hard work, all that has been done to put the people back in right standing with God by way of their worship and obedience to the law, all that has been done to fortify the city is now on the verge of being compromised and destroyed of none effect, because the folks who were left in charge of the city simply would not do the right thing. And I wonder, is there anybody in the room today who's ever been busy? You've been busy doing what God has placed in your heart to do. You've been busy laboring on the walls of your family and community and personal life and even the Lord's church. And you've seen some progress. You've seen where your hard work has paid off. You've been busy. You've been finding, though, that the devil has been busy too. What do I mean? I mean, the harder you work, the more it has seemed that the elements are against you. The harder you work, the more bricks you put in place. It appears that the moment you turn your back, the moment you ease up, there's something or someone doing something that they know will undo it all. You're busy doing God's work, but they're busy undoing it. And I'm not talking about enemies like Sanballat and Tobiah who are on the outside, but I'm talking about when what is working against you is working from within. The folks who are supposed to be on your same team, cut from the same deoxyribonucleic acid or DNA, honey, because this time what Nehemiah had to contend with was what was working against progress was not some outside force, but it was his own people. The people who rebuilt with him were working against him. My Lord and my God. And the people, with the problem with this is when you're busy working for the Lord, the work itself is tiring enough. Are y'all with me? The work itself has its own complexities and its own way of stretching you and working on you. But when you are doing the work of the Lord and you have to deal with external forces, that in itself can cause some fatigue too. But at least in that case, you know for sure that your people have your back. But when you are doing the work of the Lord and you have to deal with the threat of external forces or enemies, and somebody say, and have to deal with the fact that the harder you work and the busier you are and the more you do for God, you can't rest your eyes because there are people in your same camp who are busy too, busy working against progress. Now that can make you weary. And so today I just want to talk to some people who have been wearied by the work. I want to encourage you today to keep on working, to keep on being busy for the Lord. I want to encourage you by letting you know that we serve a God who has an exceptional memory, a God who is not unjust or unfaithful, that God will forget your labor. And that's good news for somebody who's been serving for a long time. That's good news for somebody who has been laboring in God for some time, and today you're just a little weary. And so when you're faced with internal impediments to progress, when you are on assignment from the Most High God, you do have the authority to make some reforms. And since we're learning about Nehemiah, and when we're learning this month and in this series about what happens when builders build, we will take our cues from Nehemiah. And here's the thing, I want to talk to you about what was going on in the city. Can you say these three words after me? Clean, care, and consistent. See, the people were clear that the Ammonites and the Moabites were not allowed to come into the assembly of God. Not because God did not like them, and not because Israel was better than them, but simply because they had a long history of mistreating Israel. For generations, they meant them no good. And that's a no-brainer. Can I make it live for you right now? That people who have a history of mistreating you or threatening your well-being should only have limited access to the space where you are most vulnerable. Can we put a quarter in the meter right there? Since we're on the tail end of National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, can I say it this way? If he hits you or she hits you once, he or she will hit you 10 times. And so that means that they can't live where you live. If they steal from you once, they'll do it again. So stop allowing harmful people to have access to your space. If they have been dangerous and questionable before, why would they suddenly change aside from the grace and the mercy and the blood of Jesus? But here's what happens. Eliashib the priest has moved Tobiah the Ammonite into the storerooms of the house of God. In fact, they put him in the place where the supplies of grain offerings and frankincense and tithes and new wine that were supposed to be for the Levites are supposed to be stored. And so what's the first thing that Nehemiah does? Nehemiah cleans house. And the text says that Nehemiah was grieved bitterly, and then he threw out all of the household goods that belonged to Tobiah and commanded the people to clean the rooms and to bring back the articles of the house of God and the grain offerings. And so Nehemiah cleans house. See, weariness is a sure sign of the presence of an internal impediment to progress. And so when you start to feel weary, that is your indicator, or that is your prompter to take a moment and inspect every room, to inspect every crevice, every closet, and who and what has taken residence here and living in the storehouses of our lives and the work that God has placed in our hearts. Are there places that are set aside for what is holy and set apart for one use that I have prepared, a resting place, a comfort space, a living quarters for my enemy? See, we've got to take a closer look. And when we become weary, begin to ask, where is the enemy lurking and living, benefiting from the favor of God and the substance of God that God alone has provided, but sucking progress dry little by little? We've got to ask ourselves the question and then take a closer look. And when we find the rascal, we've got to clean house. Somebody shout, clean house. And while you're looking for him, remember that sometimes the enemy is let in by the darndest of people. Eliashib was the priest, the one who let them in the reading, and who led them in the reading and the teaching of the law, broke it. The one who was the community's example of holiness had some shady little ways. So be very careful, because you'll be surprised by internal impediments to progress that come from places you never expected. Clean house. And then we've got to care for the temple. Now, when dealing with, y'all don't mind if I take my time this morning, right? We'll speed up at the end, but we'll just take our time, because I want to make sure that you're here. We all right? We all right? You still with me? Wave your hands if you're still with me. Now, when dealing with internal impediments to progress, it's important that you hold the right people accountable. See, it's easy for everyone to jump on the bandwagon against a known enemy. But there's no sense of getting upset with Tobiah for taking advantage of an open door. See, the real issue was with Eliashib, the priest who was given authority of the storerooms of the house of God and misused his authority in the area and then allowed the enemy in. Nehemiah recognizes that as a result of the misappropriation of this space on the part of the priest has resulted in portions that were set aside for the Levites to now not be given to the Levites. See, caring for the house of God, Shiloh, not only meant caring for the buildings and keeping the grounds up, but it also meant doing right by the people associated with it. It doesn't just mean beautiful buildings. And one of the young people came to visit, Trustee Bailey, you know, he said you should join Shiloh because they have nice looking floors. And it's not just the nice looking floors, but it's how you talk to people when you think nobody's looking. It's how kind you are to people when nobody is looking. It's how you treat the people associated with it. And if we are going to overcome internal impediments to progress, we've got to take a closer look and make sure that the people around us are treated right. Can you just look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to treat you right. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I'm going to treat you right. You can come in here looking like you ate a lemon sandwich for breakfast, but I am going to treat you right. I'm going to be kind. I am going to be thoughtful. I'm going to treat you the way that I expect you to treat me at the very least. See, here's the thing. God is concerned about people. And God is concerned about justice. And what Nehemiah finds is that the Levites who were responsible for the work in the temple, the singers and the worship and the worshipers have gone to find work elsewhere. In fact, when they should have been tending to the temple, now they're out working the fields and the farms out in the country. Now the Levites are off of their posts because the people in charge failed to care for the temple. But Nehemiah identifies the correct people at fault. It was the rulers who should have had a mind to care for the Levites in a better way. And so if you are feeling weary, take a closer look. How are people being treated on your watch? If you're feeling weary, how are you caring for the temple? If you're feeling weary, are you bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse? You've been too busy working for God to allow others' mistreatment of the people laboring alongside you to put the work in jeopardy. And so that's why we hold one another accountable, Sister Valerie, where we will nudge one another and say, that wasn't very kind. And we're trying to grow a church, right? And so that's not very kind. We've got to be kind to our neighbors and kind to strangers and kind to people who we don't know, even if they don't have, what did we say on the first week? All of the right connections. We're kind. And so what did I tell you? That we've got to do what? Clean house. Say that with me, clean house. We've got to what? Care for the temple. But finally, Minister Brian, we've got to be consistent. If we are going to overcome and address internal impediments to progress, we've got to be consistent. Because how can we correct what we ourselves perpetuate? What does that mean? It means this, Reverend Thorpe. It means that if there is an elephant in the room, address the elephant, but we can't pick and choose which elephants we will deal with because we like some elephants more than we like other elephants. See, we'll have to have the holy boldness to address the elephants that benefit other people and the ones that benefit us too. We can't pick and choose what is right and wrong and what will fly and what won't fly based on what you feel and like and want. But Nehemiah, you've got to be consistent. consistent in character, consistent as you go in and out among the people, consistent in our devotion to God, to the end that we have the moral and spiritual authority to clean house. We've got to be consistent in our dealings with God's people, that they know that your care for the house of God is genuine. And here's the tension today, is that I'm not saying that these things will eradicate internal impediments to progress. Did you hear what I said? This is the tension, is that I'm not saying that these three things, Deacon Al, will eradicate internal impediments to progress. In fact, I'm pretty sure that because we are human and the people around us are human, there will always be, like Israel, some proclivity to be contrary to the work of God. Any humans in the room, wave your hand at me. I'm glad you're all human. There will always be some tendency to sabotage what God has done. However, Nehemiah is consistent in his prayer life. And in our text today, we find Nehemiah releasing a prayer. And I want to tell you today, I want to put a bookmark here, Shiloh. You know, I hate to derail, but if I called 10 days of early morning prayer, would you meet me here in the sanctuary? If I did, would you meet me here? I'll let you know the dates. We're going to do 10 days, Monday through Friday for two straight weeks, early in the morning. You meet me here at the altar. But Nehemiah releases a prayer. And I want to tell you today that we recognize that one of the byproducts of serving the Lord is that we become open to the possibility of growing weary in our well-doing. If this was not the truth, then why would Job have talked about a place where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary are at rest? If we were not inclined to grow weary every now and then, Paul would not have had to remind the church at Galatia to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season they would reap if they faint not. If growing weary was not a real concept for God's people, then Isaiah wouldn't have said even the youth shall faint and be weary. So I won't make you feel bad today, Shiloh, for your weariness. You are weary because you are human. And it appears that there's always some internal factor working against your progress. You have got to hold on to this blessed assurance that God is not a man that he should lie. We've got to hold on to this blessed assurance that God gives strength to the weary. And most of all, we've got to hold on to this blessed assurance that God is not unfaithful to forget your labor and love toward the saints. And so Nehemiah prays. And what does Nehemiah pray? This prayer excites me for real, because Nehemiah prays, Reverend Slade, remember me, O God, concerning this. He says, do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its servants. But brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to stand for what is right. But don't allow internal impediments to progress cause you to give up on what God has placed in your heart to do. I know that they were your old dog. I know that you served alongside one another and they should have had your back. But remember me, oh God. You've given God your all. Call out, remember me. You've given those children your all. Cry out, remember me. That marriage, you've given it your all. But God, remember me. Church service, you've given it your all. But God, remember me. And don't lose track of the fact that God has called you to do all of this. And as much as God has called you to do it, it is not about you. But at the end of this journey, we will all have to answer to a holy God. And God will not ask us to give an account for what others did, but God will have to ask us for an account of what we have have done ourselves. Let me say that again so that I know that you got it. That God will not ask us for an account of what somebody else did, but God will ask us for an account of what we ourselves did. But I'm so glad that we serve a God who is faithful to remember. So if the opposition doesn't let up and you've done all that you know God has told you to do, you've cleaned house, you've cared for the house of God, and you've been consistent in your own conduct, is there anybody in here who will say, I will not give up, I will not step out, I will not quit, because I know that God will remember, and may the works that I've done speak for me when I'm resting in my grave. Nothing more to be said. May the works that I've done speak for me, and may the life that I live speak for me. May the service that I give speak for me. May the works that I've done, sometimes it seems small, it seems like I've done nothing at all, but when I stand before God's throne and I hear him say, well done, then I know that the works I've done have spoken for me. Is there anybody in here who's done some work? Anybody in 515 who said, I've been serving God and I've done some things and I felt a little weary, but remember me, oh God, even in my weariness, don't forget. Remember me, remember me. Remember the night I stayed up praying. Remember the seeds I've sown. Remember the days I showed up when nobody else did. Remember when I was kind, when they treated me like trash. Remember me, oh Lord. Remember me, remember me, remember me. Is there anybody in here who just needs God to remember? God, I thank you that you are faithful. God, I thank you that you don't forget. Now breathe on me. Now that you remember, breathe afresh and anew. Now that you remember, give me a fresh wind. Give me a fresh wind. Pour out your spirit on my weariness. Give strength to the weary. Remember me, oh God. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. But in the meantime, I will clean house. Not just the Lord's house, but my house. You've got some people in some places, and it's time to clean house. But not only will I clean house, I'm going to care for the Lord's house. I'm going to go in my financial records and make sure that I'm current with my tithe, especially if I'm leading in the Lord's house, right? I'm a tither. I'll catch up because I'm going to care for the Lord's house. And then I'm going to be consistent. Consistent in my prayer life. Consistent in my service. I'm not going to be one way with Pastor Brown and another way when I'm not going to say one thing when the church people are around and then another thing. Because in the words of my daddy, Deacon Hand, my daddy would say this, what doesn't come out in the wash is going to come out in the rinse. That's what he told me. So we might as well pull out the bleach on the front end. because it can't come out if I already cleaned it. But standing all over the building, remember me, oh God. Remember me. If you're here today and you want to be saved, Scripture tells us that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so today I want to invite you to choose Jesus as your own. Now that's all the Scripture says, right? There's another Scripture that says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus. So that's one way. And then whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nobody said that you have to dress like your grandma. Now, wait a minute. My grandma was fly. But no one said that you have to dress a certain way or talk a certain way. Nobody said that you have to be able to quote all the Scriptures. I tell you, we need a little saints around that cuss a little. You know, you need a handful. Sister Mary, just a handful. Every now and then, you have to say, hold on, it's your turn. We need you. This is a case for you. No one said that you have to get everything together. There's no perfect people. There's only a perfect God. And so if you're here today and you're saying, hey, I want to be in relationship with that perfect God, this is your opportunity to choose Jesus. All you have to do is call on his name. If you're here today and you want to be saved, I want to invite you to step out into the aisle and come on. Our ministers, they're vaccinated, they're masked, and they're waiting for you. These are some of the kindest people I know. And if you're here, I want you to just come step out. And then here's the second call. If you're here and you want to be a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, I say it every week, not just that the doors of the church are open, but the heart of this church is open. And we want you to be a part of this family. We want you to partner with us. There's room for you and your gifts and everything that you bring right here at Shiloh. And I will endeavor to be the best pastor you ever had. I'm not perfect, not even trying to be, but I am cute. And I mean that sincerely. No, and I'm sincere. And I'd love for you to join our family. And so if you're here today and you want to be a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, the heart of this church is open. The doors of this church are open. We've been praying for you. We're just wondering what has taken you so long. We've been praying that you would come. Come on, put your hands together. Man, woman, boy, girl. Would you come? Would you come? If you're online and you want to join Shiloh Baptist Church, you're online and you want to connect with us, you want to give your life to Christ, just say so in the comments. And our minister, Alicia is online and she will respond to you right away. Come on, here's another one. Come on, Shiloh, put your hands together and give God praise. The family is growing. Somebody say it. The family is growing. The family is growing. And we say this as well, that maybe the walk is intimidating to you, but our leaders are going to stay here. Even after the benediction, they'll be right here. Because maybe you're in the aisle and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ, but I was nervous about that long walk, or I want to join this church because these people are really kind and cool and I want to grow in God. But I didn't want to take that walk. After service, we're going to take communion. Our deacons and deaconess are preparing now to come. But you can come to any one of these leaders and let them know that you want to give your life to Christ or that you want to join Shiloh, and they will walk you through that process. Amen? Is that all right? Aren't you glad that God remembers us? Come on, Shiloh, put your hands together. St. Flora. time for communion, and so we'll prepare. Do y'all know I call Deaconess Flora Williams St. Flora? That's my name for her. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we gather at this table. We come to you, Lord God, from all different journeys and walks of life. Much like that table at the institution of the Lord's Supper, that there were various journeys represented at the table. But every journey, Lord God, meant the same to you. That each soul and each life at that table mattered to you. And so, God, we thank you today that as we gather around this communion table, that we matter to you. God, we pause in these moments to ask that you would search us. And if you find anything in us that's not like you, take it away, Lord God. Before we partake in the table, we ask, Lord God, that you would forgive us of any sins. That you, Lord God, would cleanse us and wash us. That you would break the chains of condemnation and break the chains of sin, Lord God. Any way that we may have broken your heart. Lord God, we know our stories And so we ask that you would forgive us even now. We beg your pardon, Lord God. And now, God, as we open this table, we ask that you would sanctify these elements, that you would take them from a natural use to a spiritual one, and that, God, as we gather for this memorial meal, that someone would draw encouragement, someone would draw empowerment, remembering that your sacrifice was once and for all, remembering that your sacrifice was not in part, but it did the whole job. And so, God, we thank you today for this communion moment and for every life that will gather together at this table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
But the blood of Jesus, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood.
Stand all over the sanctuary as we prepare to share in the Lord's Supper together. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he distributed it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you, the body of Jesus Christ that was indeed broken for you. Eat ye all of it." And after the same manner, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood that was shed for you. My brothers and my sisters, drink ye all of it." May the peace of the Lord be with each of you. Can you share a sign of peace with your neighbor as we prepare to dismiss? Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest, rule, and abide with all of you now, henceforth, and forevermore. And may you be reminded every day that our God is not unfaithful, and he does not forget your labor of love toward the saints. And so all week long, may your prayer be, "Lord, remember me," and may God prove to you that he does indeed remember. Go in peace, Shiloh. Be blessed, Shiloh, and you are loved. I'll see you in the lobby.